This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Well, all this week on Cross Hope, the fourth message in the series in Jeremiah, a message entitled, The God Who Speaks, and parenthetically, The People Who Don't Listen. That just may be you or me. It's Jeremiah 6 is the passage. We continue exactly where we left off in chapter 5 last week. God bless you as you listen to The God Who Speaks. Some men, though, I've learned, are deaf by choice. Some of you are married to men who are deaf by choice, meaning what? They choose not to hear. Children can choose to be deaf by choice. I've always marveled at little children, how you can take both of your hands and put them on both sides of their face and say, sweetheart, look at me. Now I'm going to tell you something and I want you to get it. And they walk away and they don't remember a thing you say. But they can be playing video games in the next room. And you and your husband or wife are having a private conversation and they walk in and say, what'd you just say about Uncle So-and-so? I heard you say something about him. I know you said something about her. What was it? And so they hear more often than not by overhearing rather than hearing directly. You say, why are you talking about hearing today? We're going to read in the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, where Jeremiah, the prophet of God, says God's people had closed ears. They refused to hear what he had to say to them, and they refused to hear the word of the Lord for this reason. They found it offensive. You ever been offended by something in the Bible? Sure you have. I have. And when I say offensive, I don't mean it in totally the traditional sense of being offended by something. What I mean is when we're offended by Scripture, we're convicted. And you have been convicted by Scripture, and so have I. You read the Bible long enough, and I guarantee you, sooner or later, you're going to be convicted. You're going to be offended by the word. And you will have the choice and say, I'm going to hear that. I'm going to respond to that. I'm going to receive it, or I'm going to turn a deaf ear spiritually to that. Steve Arterburn is an author, counselor, who wrote a book called Hand-Me-Down Jeans. Not talking about Levi's, but G-E-N-E-S. Hand-Me-Down Jeans and Secondhand Emotions. He says this in his preface. People can be classified in many ways, but one of the simplest is this. Those who create problems and those who solve them. Isn't it amazing, he says, how some people can take a small problem in their life and turn it into a complete disaster, while others who face insurmountable difficulties figure out a way to resolve them? In personal life, it's no different. Some people come out of mildly dysfunctional homes and spend the rest of their lives in a self-destruct mode, crashing and burning in the flames of blame and shame. What a sentence. Crashing and burning in the flames of blame and shame. Others come out of homes so sick that it seems no one could survive emotionally, yet they do. These courageous survivors go on to conquer the problems from the past, and they lead healthy, productive lives. All problems require insight and an attitude that says people do not have to let the patterns of their past or their parents become predictors of the future. Problems can be resolved rather than reproduced. Problems can be resolved rather than reproduced. He believes, and I believe, that one of the great problem causers in your life and in my life is a refusal to listen to the Word of God. And I don't mean where you refuse to hear physical sounds coming into your eardrums. I don't mean that. It's where you turn a deaf ear inside your heart where you live and say, I'm not going to take that. I'm not going to receive that. I'm not going to be open in my spirit to those words. And yet I'm convinced that that's when healing begins, is when you and I open up our hearts and our spirits to the Word of God.
We'll continue this message tomorrow on Cross Hope. That's crosshope.org.
Good biblical preaching does two things. This may surprise you to say this, but I really believe that when somebody preaches the Bible, it draws people, but here's the part I don't like, it repels people. The same sermon that blesses one man, some guy sitting there saying, there's no way I'm going to put up with this week after week. I'm not going to listen to this week after week. I'm not going to put up with this kind of talk. And so the Bible draws people, And you may remember a time in your life when you were actually repelled by it. And that can happen to all of us. That can happen to all of us. Let's bring up verse 10 again, the first verse we read. To whom can I speak and give warning? Jeremiah says. Who will listen to me? Their ears are closed, so they cannot hear. The word of the Lord is offensive to them. Don't raise your hand, but there's been a time in your life when the word of God was offensive to you, perhaps. You ever been mad at something you've read in the Bible? I'll admit it, I have. I don't want to read that. Why? Because it convicted me in my spirit. It convicted me of something going on, some thought that I was having. And so the Bible, is, if it's inspired by God and is directed by the Holy Spirit, it makes sense that the Lord speaks to people every time we open this book. Be careful when you find the word of God offensive to you. I know you've all heard this story before, most of you, but it's a true story. It's a funny story, but it's a great example of the word of God offending people. Did a wedding years ago where the couple asked me to read from the book of Ephesians about marriage. They said, we want you to read the passage in Ephesians where it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And we want you to read that part where it says, wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. And that's not a popular, politically correct passage to read now or even 10, 15 years ago. I read it at the wedding. And after the wedding was over, I'm out in the foyer greeting people with the wedding party. And I saw a woman literally running to me. She was double timing, coming toward me. And she had fire in her eyes. And I remember honestly thinking, if she's armed, I'm dead. If she has a gun, I'm dead. And she ran up to me and with her husband running behind her, and she stuck her finger in my face and said, you ruined this wedding. I said, I ruined this wedding? How? She said, by reading that passage of scripture from Ephesians, and you've heard this before, but this is true. It's exactly what happened. She said, my husband and I don't believe that passage, and we're happy, aren't we? And he said, yes, yes, we're very happy. We're extremely happy, extremely happy. He jumped when she said, we're happy, aren't we? Yes, we are. But there was a case of where the woman took offense at something she heard in Scripture. My point is this, it can happen to you. And here's another point. Be careful and pay attention when you find the Word of God offending you, because the Lord may be trying to tell you something. When you sense this is offensive to me, this convicts me, then pay attention. Maybe the Lord wants to speak to you. Let's go to verse 13. From the least to the greatest, talking about the people in Jerusalem, all are greedy for gain. Prophets and priests alike all practice deceit. He said even the leaders, the prophets and the priests, are on the take. They're greedy. They practice deceit. And I wanted to give you a definition of greedy. Write this down, those of you that take notes. You know you're greedy when what you own matters more to you than Jesus Christ does. And only you know that. You know you are a greedy man or a greedy woman if what you own matters more to you than your relationship with the Lord. And that's very personal. And it's very presumptuous of anybody, including me, to tell you that's, you know, you're greedy, or you tell me I'm greedy. It's very private, very personal, but we are greedy when what we own matters more than our relationship to Jesus Christ. The most intriguing verse out of all these verses is verse 14. They dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. They dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. He's talking about the sin. God looks at the sin in your life as a wound that needs to be healed. Remember that. That's a word for somebody today. God's looking at maybe the sin in your life and in my life. It's something that needs to be healed. You know, people talk about healing all the time. I'm grateful when God does heal people, but the greatest healing of all is to be forgiven. The greatest healing of all is to have your sins forgiven. And the prophets and the priests were dressing the wound of the people as though it were not serious. Let me give you an illustration. It's the best illustration I know because it happened to me. When I was 19 years old, I was the weekend youth minister at a church. And one summer, I happened to live in the home of the minister and his wife. They were gracious enough to say, instead of you commuting back and forth from the college in Cincinnati, just stay at our house. And I appreciated that. They literally left on vacation one Monday morning. And that night, I'm eating my fancy TV dinner that I put in the oven and just sitting there having my dinner when there's a knock at the door. And I opened the door and a woman started screaming, "Get Wally," that was the name of the minister. I said, "Why?" She said, "So-and-so across the street just shot himself in the chest." And I said, "He's not here. He's on vacation. They just left from Oklahoma today." And then without even thinking, she said, "Well, then you come and help me." And I ran over there. The police weren't there. The squad wasn't there. And I'm the only one treating him. And here's a man with a bullet hole in his chest. And all I knew to do was to take a washcloth and fold it over 3 or 4 times, a clean washcloth, and then hold it on his chest. And that's all I did. I held it. I said, call the life squad, and held it and talked to him. He was still conscious. And did I help him by doing that? Yeah, I think I did. Did I solve his problem? No. Why? He needed surgery. He needed to have surgery within the hour. He needed to have something done to remove the bullet. He needed to make sure blood vessels that had been perhaps impacted or severed needed to be reconnected. His lung needed to be worked on. And so all I did was temporary. And that's the analogy that Jeremiah, the prophet of God, says, this is what the prophets and priests do. They're just covering the wounds. Covering the wounds of my people, the sin, but they're not really, really dealing with it. Is there anything in your life called a wound that you've been covering up for years? Anything going on in your past or your present that you know you've been covering up for years? Let me give you a dramatic piece of writing here. This is so involved that don't try to write it down, because I've got copies out in the Welcome Center and you can take this. I made so many copies so that people in each service could take them. It's from Steve Arterburn, who I quoted earlier. It's a little test you can give yourself. He has a test where you can find out if you have wounds in your life that need healing. Are there major chunks of your childhood that you cannot remember, that perhaps are blocked out because of some unpleasant, painful event? Yes or no? Was your family so dysfunctional that you have no idea what normal means, and you often have to guess what's normal? That's interesting. Do you feel different from other people, as if they were given a set of instructions on how to live that you were never available to you? Is your life full of the overs, overachieving, overworking, overeating, overdrinking, overmedicating, overspending, overchurching? Well, obviously, we're out of time today on Cross Hope, but we'll continue this message exactly where we leave off today on Cross Hope. Our website, of course, is crosshope.org. Well, we ended the program yesterday with a quote by Steve Arterburn on a quiz that you can give yourself about unhealed wounds in your life. I continue exactly where I left off yesterday. Is your life full of the overs, overachieving, overworking, overeating, overdrinking, overmedicating, overspending, overchurching? Do you have a history of constantly being involved in relationships that are self-defeating, unhealthy, and destructive? Do you remain extremely loyal to people even though you have no definite proof that your loyalty is deserved? Do you constantly seek affirmation and approval from others? Do you have a hard time being truthful and find yourself telling lies when you could have easily told the truth? Do you have a string of short-term relationships and avoid people who've been around a while? Do you continue to harbor deep resentment toward your parents? Are you constantly obsessing over things from your past, starting many conversations with these words, "If only"? If only I hadn't met him. If only I hadn't been with her. If only I hadn't done this or done that. If only I hadn't gone to that place. And here's what Steve Arterburn says, and this is why I want you to get a copy of this. If you answered yes to at least 3 questions, there's a strong likelihood that some events or relationships from your past are adversely affecting the present. Adversely affecting the present. What wounds in your life are going on right now and you haven't done anything about it? What wounds are in your life and you haven't done a thing about it? You may have areas of wounding in your body, mind, and soul. And Dr. Steve Arterburn says this: we reproduce what we don't resolve. What a statement. We reproduce what we don't resolve. Some of you perhaps have something going on in your life and you know it's a deep wound and you say, it's not there. And you're dressing the wound as if it were not serious. I told you not to write down what I gave you, but there are three things I want to give you right now that I do want you to write down because you're not going to get this out in the hall. Three sentences I want you to write down. They may be the three most important things I say this morning. Here they go. Number one, you don't heal a wound by saying it's not there. Now, that's true physically and emotionally and spiritually. You don't heal a wound by saying it's not there. I'm going to say it one more time. You don't heal a wound by saying it's not there. Number two, you don't right a wrong by saying that it never happened. You don't right a wrong by saying it didn't happen. I don't know how many times, parenthetically here, I've had somebody sit in my office and they'll tell me of something that happened, and then they'll tell me about the other person involved, and they say, they deny it to this day. They say, it never happened. And they say, but Randy, it did happen. It really, really did happen. And they say, no, it didn't happen. And you don't correct a wrong. You don't right a wrong by just denying it and say, well, it never happened. And number three, you don't deal with a sin until you confess it. You don't deal with a sin until you confess it, which means you own it, you acknowledge it. And you know, ultimately, the word confess means you agree with God about it. To confess your sin means you agree that it's sin. And that's why John would say in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I quote that verse, I've told you, more than any other verse of the Bible. Why? Because people need it. You need it. I need it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, all this week on Cross Hope, we've been listening to a message from Jeremiah 6, beginning at verse 10, where Jeremiah said God's people refused to listen to the Lord. They closed their ears. What an analogy. It's like they put their hands over their ears when he spoke to them about God's will in their lives and God's judgment upon their lives. We're going to look at one more verse in this passage, and we're going to wrap it up, but I want you to hear what Jeremiah says to you and to me in 2017. God bless you as you listen to the conclusion of this message, the God who speaks and the people who refuse to listen. One more verse, and then we'll close. It's the last one, verse 15. I never thought I would see these words in the Bible. I really didn't, for some reason. Are they ashamed of their conduct, their loathsome, wicked conduct? No, they have no shame at all. They don't even know how to blush. So they will fall among the fallen. They will be brought down when I punish them, says the Lord. Couple of things there. They don't even know how to blush. What does that mean? There are some people who not only do things that are wrong, they don't care who knows. I don't care if you know. I don't care if you know. I don't care if anybody knows. I'm going to do what I want to do. Is that a verse that describes what we see in the media about people today? My life for the world to see? I don't care. I don't even know how to blush. And then I want you to notice what Jeremiah says. He uses a battlefield analogy. He says, so they will fall among the fallen. He's talking about the battlefield, physical battlefield. They will fall among the fallen. But he's not talking about battlefield casualties. He's talking about spiritual casualties and moral casualties. Would you decide today you're not going to be a casualty spiritually and you're not going to be a casualty morally, that you're going to heed the Lord, you're going to listen to his word, and you're going to do the opposite of what God's people did to Jeremiah? You're going to listen. You're going to open up your ears and say, Lord, whatever you have to say to me, I'm open to it. I'm going to listen to it. And if you do that, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Things are going to happen in your life and in your family and in your future that will never happen any other way. I really believe that. And I'm not saying, you know, follow these principles and you get your Lexus and your Cadillac and it's all going to be great. I'm not talking about that. There will be spiritual blessings in your life. It's called healing. Healing of the soul, healing of your spirit. Your greatest need in life is not to be healed of a physical illness, as great as that may be. Your greatest need, my greatest need, is to be forgiven. to be forgiven. How does it happen? Through Christ. Always has, always will. It happens by coming to Him and throwing yourself, figuratively speaking, at the foot of the cross, and something happens. He forgives. He forgives. Let's pray together. Lord, this is a book of judgment, and there's some strong stuff in the book of Jeremiah, but I want to remind people, actually every week, that the same book of judgment, in chapter 27, you speak and say, I have loved you with an everlasting love. There's no husband that can say that about the way he loves his wife in this room today. There's no wife that can claim that for her love for her husband, or parent for a child, or a child for a parent. But the Lord can say it with authority because it's true. You have loved us with an everlasting love. The proof is the cross. The proof is forgiveness. The proof is second chance. The proof is eternal life. All the things that come from knowing you. Lord, bless this decision time in this third service. Anyone needs to come, that's why we're here. It's what our business is all about. We're in the business of bringing people to you one way or the other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday, or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.